Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Sofia Meetings is the annual co-production market of the Sofia International Film Festival in Bulgaria. This year, it too had to adapt to the current global situation, and we will find out all about it directly from the source by speaking with the head of Sofia Meetings herself, Mira Staleva. Mira, welcome to the Big Fred Tuesday.
Thank you for inviting me. Pleasure.
Very excited about this because obviously there's been a lot going on around the world with the pandemic. So we will be talking about the Sofia Meetings co-production market in a moment. But just to provide some context for our listeners, I was wondering whether you would be able to say a few words about the Sofia International Film Festival itself. I've never been there myself, unfortunately, but I understand, of course, that it's a major cultural event for Bulgaria and the region at large.
Yes. Said it very correctly. It's really a big event and one of the biggest festivals on the Balkans, together with the Sarajevo and Thessaloniki. So Sofia, the festival we started in the beginning of the 90s. After a short history of going through Rock Film Fest, Music Film Fest, we became what we are. So Sofia International Film Festival. So we kind of dropped the music part, but we always stayed loyal to it, having concerts and music box section in the film. But it's basically our competition is focused on upcoming directors, first or second film, but the festival itself shows films from everywhere as far as they are really good. So we have great audience in the years and we want to keep it. We are quite ambitious in this sense, but cinema is quite a luxury item in the countries that you don't have such a variety of distribution of titles in distribution. And Bulgaria is exactly this type of country. Although the piracy is a national sport, still in the torrents, you don't find out these big quality art house films, which are really inspiring. They're kind of out of the radar in most of the cases. So that's our mission in a way, to bring them to the attention of our audience, to bring them to the attention to the professional audience in the world, and to make Sofia as a favorite place for meeting creative, for the meetings of creative people. And Sofia Meetings as a co-production market came as a part of this mission. That's why Sofia Meetings is also focused on upcoming directors. So basically we present first, second or third fiction feature project of the director. So you see they're connected.
Oh, yes, I see. Yeah. And we'll be talking about that a little later on. But of course, now you mentioning the sort of the role of the festival, then what I understand is that a large part of the reason for its existence, let's say, is to also promote film culture within Bulgaria.
Yes, that's one point. From another point, let's make it global.
Yeah.
I mean, let's make it international. Let's meet all the people that are interested in good cinema.
That's right. And I understand that, of course, in response to the pandemic, the response was the festival was supposed to take place in March, I believe. But now it has been split to two shorter editions, let's say, one to take place in the summer and the other to take place in autumn.
Yes, exactly. That's the plan, because we had to cancel 3 days before the opening of the festival. Mm. But now we had to be flexible with the plans for the future. But actually, they're not that much shorter, these two parts, because more or less now we have 1 month and more or less we have another month in September, October. So in a way, it's longer.
Yeah.
And it's much more spread it out in online, because now we are using open air stages and we are using online platform. The thing is that the time is different, challenging. So many people are still kind of afraid to go to cinema theaters. But step by step, I think everything will be fine.
Right. Because it is a mix of digital screenings, online screenings, and open-air screenings, and I believe also select theaters?
Yes, select theaters. Definitely we have cinema theater, a cinema house for the moment, just one inside cinema like normal cinema theater, but we hope that since September, October, we will have much more normal cinema theaters involved.
Fingers crossed.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. We need it.
Yeah, and I understand that the same thing sort of happened with the Sofia meetings. Maybe we'll get into that a bit later. And you sort of introduced it a little bit earlier, but I was wondering whether you'd like to say maybe a little bit more about perhaps the history of the Sofia meetings as well and what they are.
Yes, I mentioned already that they're very connected. So basically, we started with the festival. All of a sudden, the festival grew, became kind of international spot and under the international radars. And we were thinking about all these directors and producers and new projects, and especially the directors from countries which are not that big as production, that they're not that very well known. So this is how we came to the idea to create Sofia Meetings as a co-production market, focusing on upcoming directors, upcoming with first, second, third fiction feature. Because you say third feature, maybe it's not that upcoming, like they're already experienced, but not that much, especially if you're coming from a small country with not such a big potential for distribution outside. So that's why this is our group. Let's give these newcomers all the know-how, energy, and networking with the industry executives in the audiovisual area. That was the idea, and especially to also push the Bulgarian film industry. Because, let's say, 17 years ago, when we started Sofia Meetings, there was not a lot of knowledge for the co-producing. A and B were still missing in this sense. So both, we decided to help the upcoming directors and the local Bulgarian film industry. And I have to say that luckily we had great projects in the very, very beginning. For example, The Death of Mr. Lazarescu by Cristi Puiu was presented at one of the first editions of Sofia Meetings. So Cristi is a longtime friend. I have to mention also Dao by Ila Krzyżanowski, who just premiered at Berlinale, I mean this year, in February, just before they closed all the rest of the film festivals in the world. Adrian Pau by Agnieszka Kosic, Eastern Plays by Kamen Kalev. We have quite names which were young. I mean, that was first or second project. Now everybody knows about them. Like everybody knows about Cristi Puiu, who opened basically the new wave in the Romanian cinema. But back in the times, it wasn't like that. So that's our mission.
Yeah, so Sofia Meetings helped nurture those talents.
Yes.
And that's interesting because, so basically, the contact platform itself is really an award, but are there any official, let's say, awards?
Official awards for the yes, we have, of course, awards, although I always want to say here that these are not Olympic Games, and all the awards are having more the mission of encouragement. Because, thanks God, art is subjective, and there are many, many different and great films, and they're not always the ones which are getting the awards. But because, however, the juries are a subjective bunch of people, which we are just multiplying the subjectivity, which is great, of course. That's why we appreciate it. But I always make this additional sentence about the awards. But yes, we have. We used to work with New Bujana Film Studios. Maybe we will work with them for the future also, because, you know, they inherited the big Bulgarian state film studios, and they can provide services, very helpful services. But for this year, we're presenting the main award, which is CineLab Romania, €25,000 in services. This is thanks to Cornelia Popa, which is presenting this award. Focus Fox Studio in Hungary is also giving €10,000 in services. Then we have Viva Kult, which is an award like selection of one of projects and bringing the director and producer in Berlin and meeting them with the German industry and trying to find co-producers which are matching the idea of the project. Then we have an award which is provided by Zeynep Otakan. Zeynep is the longtime producer of Nuri Bilge Ceylan. And she's also offering a tutoring of a project and a producer. Usually it's a female producer. Here we open the theme of the gender equality. So yes, after that we have some partnerships. We have partnership with Producers Network, which are awarding two accreditations to our producers. Then Crossroads, another co-production platform part of Thessaloniki Film Festival, is selecting a project for Sofia Meetings, and Mediterranean Film Institute, which is a training platform, is also giving a free scholarship for a project from Sofia Meetings. So we are trying always to make our network bigger and kind of to make new partnerships, because when you're making film, this is the most important. Making cinema is a very collective work, and many, many bodies on the way can help in this direction, being a scholarship to make the script better, or being even accreditation for Cannes, which if you're coming from a small country, Central or Eastern European, it's already something. Maybe not for the big industries from Germany, France and UK, but for the rest of the world, it is.
Mira, we talked earlier about the festival having to essentially be split into two parts in response to the global pandemic. And I understand that a similar decision was taken as far as Sofia Meetings is concerned. Is that correct?
Yes, we had to, actually, because with the works in, maybe let me briefly mention what is Sofia Meetings. It's a co-production market, but it has two parts. The one is the pitching of the project. The second one is works in progress, screening all these films which are not completed or completed, but still without premieres at big international event, or looking for sales. So as we had already the great selection of films, we had to go out with them, because the festival which will be coming in the second half of the year, they need to select now, and may appear to be the right timing, because Cannes was missing on the stage, so nobody from the film industry had nothing to do in May. So we just managed to grab this place. So from to the 27th to the 31st of May, we screened all these films, and we already have one of the good news that February by Kamen Kalev was selected for the official selection of Cannes Film Festival. And for all the rest, we are waiting eagerly, because not a single festival announced so far the selection. Fingers crossed. We love our projects. We care for them. And now we are coming with the second part. From 30 to the 8th July will be the pitchings, and will be the additional part, which usually is having some talks, panels, workshops. Of course, now everything in the digital age, everything is happening as a webinar, because we are going online.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but we have some very interesting teams. Like traditionally, we focus on transmedia and VR. We always felt kind of obliged to show new ways, new possible horizons for the filmmakers from Eastern and Central Europe. So that's why we keep this transmedia corner alive.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to the first part first, before we get into maybe the program of the second section and how it will operate. And because it's sort of the pandemic forced you to experiment perhaps with softwares in the digital side of things, I was just wondering how it went and what were the challenges that you encountered along the way?
Actually, it went very smoothly. And there is definitely kind of advantage in this, that you can screen it and the people with the other side can watch it in the most comfortable situation. But I think one of the biggest challenges is the lack of real contact. However good is the digital connection and all these Zoom, Jitsi and other technological assets, devices, platforms, you can never get all this information that's coming from a simple human face talking and making gestures. But beside that, I can say that it really went excellent. Many of our kind of directors and producers are very happy with the results. Festival programmers and sales agents also. So definitely, we were flexible. But again, what is the advantage of live meetings and the traditional models of co-production markets and especially works in progress? Because when you meet, you see, you click with some people. colleagues in the industry, and then you can talk about many more projects. You can initiate something together. So it has such a great added value.
Yeah, there's some things that can't be replaced by the digital
exactly,
world.
Exactly. It's not a trade platform. Yeah. Even if we kind of sometimes can present it like that, co-production market, everything seems like that. Some projects are looking for financial partners, but it's much more about that. It's about creative clicking. It's about meeting of creative people which start doing things together. And for this, the meetings in the real space and time are essential.
Right. And now we can talk about the second feature pitchings and professional events program. You mentioned that there'll be a few talks as well. And I was wondering whether you could give me an example of this program.
Yes, absolutely ready to do that. as I was saying, we have this traditional focus on transmedia. But beside that, of course, we always kind of present showcases or some interesting topics for the industry. For example, what I find very provocative is distribution and alternative distribution. One of the really crucial team, as we produce so many films, but just few of them are outreaching audience. So every year we have something on the alternative channels of distribution, how to deal with the audience. Where to look for them? What are the people doing in the world to exchanging good practices? But this year we went more transmedia, maybe because of post-pandemic world is more digital in the moment. I suppose it's just our digital summer holiday. And from September on, we will come back to the normality. But what I can... Yes, Domenico Laporta, he's the journalist from... in Europe, but also was heading RO Institute in Belgium, which was for new medias, and also the transmedia part of WOWIMASH. So he will give a talk about the story structure and empathy characters. Why does it matter? Which is how we structure the stories, not only when we create projects for new media and transmedia, but also for the traditional storytelling. Then we will go to presenting gaming and interactive films, distribution and audience, how we connect to the people which come from the, again, from the traditional filmmaking with all the new directions that they can explore and present themselves, like gaming. For example, we have invited Jade Alexander, a producer from UK, which recently distributed The Complex, that's the title, the first sci-fi action interactive film. And we'll be talking exactly on this, how the audiovisual people can meet the gaming industry. What are the pluses? What are the minuses? What are the specifics? We also want to talk about VR as a kind of challenges of creating it, the virtual realities of nowadays. What else are we presenting? The very, very good European training programs like EAVE, Torino Film Lab, Scripties, and Less is More, LIM, because, you know, training programs are always a good place to challenge, to be challenged with your ideas, especially, as I said, that we have most of the participants selected from Central and Eastern Europe, and the possibilities in these countries are a bit limited, so to say. In a way, we are much more flexible, because we know how to work with limited means. But in the same time, we still need kind of enlightening on all the direction of the industry. And what I wanted to say, when I'm repeating all the time that we present mostly projects from Central and Eastern Europe, we are not limited to this. We don't have any geographical focus. It just happened like that, because when you're upcoming director from, especially from these countries, you really need somebody to take care of you, kind of to position you properly in between the industry, to make a network working for you. We are very open for projects from all over the world, and traditionally we work with Russia, Turkey, and all the Caucasian region like Georgia and Armenia, just because being neighbors, we kind of operate in the same scale. And especially we definitely have to say here that Georgian cinema developed very well in the last, in the recent years. We're very happy kind of to select a Georgian project every year. Did I miss something?
That's okay. I think we got enough.
Okay.
I wanted to, because we're, it's a shame because it sounds all, it sounds very fascinating, but we are running out of time. And I wanted to just briefly ask you as well, because I'm kind of curious about the second feature pitchings. And is there a structure to the different days of, I mean, is that process spread out throughout the days in a specific way?
Yes, there is. For the online edition, there is a very specific structure because you have to control the online world. So basically on the, we will use the advantage that being online, we don't need just to happen in 3 days, which is actually quite busy for all these professionals coming to Sofia usually. So now we are using the luxury of having the time from the 3 to 8. So the people can take, after the pitching, they can take easily the meetings, having enough time, and then they can come to the panels, to the webinars, which will be on the 5th, 6th, and 7th, and 8th. And on the 3rd and 4th, we will have the pitchings and the meetings. So 3rd in the morning, 4th in the afternoon, we have pitchings. On the 4th and the 5th, we will have the meetings. Basically, to summary, it's a luxury. We just have more time. But why not, if the online is giving you this possibility?
Sure. And on that note, actually, just to maybe close it all, do you see yourself maybe using some of the things that you're experimenting with right now in the future?
Yes, definitely. I think some, for example, for the works in progress, we definitely can use this hybrid version. So for some of the festival programmers and sales agents that first cannot come because they're busy, and second because of our budget restrictions, but they still can watch all these films online, which is great, because this year, for example, we had like 60 festival programmers for the works in progress I'm talking about. We had all the big festivals, so, which really in the reality is difficult. Of course, Sofia meetings being situated in March, it's a great timing just before all the important festivals in the year. I mean, I'm not underestimating Sundance and Berlinale at all. It's just that after Sundance and Berlinale, there is almost no platform till the end of June where you can present your works in progress.
That's true.
Yeah, but definitely to bring new ideas how we can use online space also.
Exactly. In a way, you're sort of pioneering a lot of these methods. I'm sure that the rest of the film world is watching what you guys are doing closely also because of the way you're running things.
Yes, and it's great to share ideas because, I mean, it's a challenge for all of us. So I appreciate all the meetings with the colleagues that we have done already in the new home that all we inhabit, Zoom space. I would suggest to Zoom maybe to furniture some of the room to offer this. Actually, this augmented reality, I think, can do that very easily. I'm joking with you, but it's really from so many Zoom spaces, we kind of lost ourselves. That's why going to the physical spaces is so beautiful. I'm craving this. I'm really missing it.
Me too. But,
whatever works, let's put it like that. If there is something in the online space that we can use, why not?
Right. Well, Mira, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Matt. Real pleasure, and let's hope we meet somewhere soon in the physical space, celebrating another dozen of good films and passionate people.
Right on.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.